الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابي ولا شريعة بعد شريعتي والصلاة والسلام الأكملان الأتمان على الركن الأعظم أفضل من تقدم ومن تأخر وعلى آله وأصحابه الغر الميمين وبعد. Respected honored scholars, ulama, elders, beloved brothers, it is the collective aim of the forces of kufr and disbelief to extinguish the light of Allah on the face of this earth. It is the collective aim of the forces of kufr and disbelief to extinguish the light of Allah on the face of this earth. And furthermore, Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ The plan of Allah is, the agenda of Allah is, He would safeguard His deen, He will protect His deen, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ Even if the kuffar dislike it, even if the polytheists dislike it. So you will find that the enemies of Islam, they would tell you, that you know what, we have no problem with the moderate Muslim. We've got no problem with the moderate Muslim, but we've got a problem with the radical Muslim, and we've got a problem with the fundamentalist Muslim, and we've got a problem with the terrorist Muslim. Let us define these terminologies. A radical Muslim is that Muslim who reflects the beautiful appearance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wherever you travel, you perform salah, your women are veiled. A fundamentalist Muslim is that Muslim who upholds the fundamentals of Islam. And a terrorist Muslim is that Muslim who upholds that fundamental which unfortunately today we see what is happening in the world. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda, during his khilafat, he receives a letter that the Muslims in Egypt are asking for reinforcement. And he's addressing a gathering, Sayyidina Umar, and he looks at three individuals, and he said that these three are the reinforcement. Never in the history of any army did you hear reinforcement, three individuals. Somebody tell him, oh Umar, Amirul Mu'mineen, they're asking for reinforcement, you selected three. He said, what did I tell you? He said, these three that I've identified resemble the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam totally. If you have to replace these three with 30,000, it would be of no avail. If I replace these three with 30,000, it would be of no avail. So it is the radical, that alleged radical Muslim that is a threat to the West. Now brothers, we all know what is happening currently in the world. A few days back, yesterday it made international headlines, the assassination of this leader, Sheikh Ismail Al-Haniya. You know, as Muslims, how do we react to this? Allah Ta'ala gives us the answers in Quran. And I always say this, unfortunately we have not studied the language of Quran. You have barred yourselves from volumes of Islamic knowledge. You have barred yourselves from volumes of Islamic knowledge. What does Allah Ta'ala say? وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ Allah says, not for one moment, should you entertain the thought that Allah is unmindful of the atrocities of the evil people. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ Whilst they release their missiles, and it strikes targets. What they call it? Precision timing. We call it the clemency of Allah. They call it striking targets. We call it the grace and the tolerance of Allah. And let me remind you, my brothers, that the grace and the tolerance of Allah knows no bounds. Never mind the respite Allah is giving them today. We learn close to Qiyamah when Ya'juj and Ma'juj will make their presence on this earth. This is not a time to envy, not a time to look forward to. The challenges of preserving Iman will be immensely great. Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they will kill every living creature on this earth. And thereafter they will direct their arrows to the skies. And they will say that we now want to kill the inhabitants of the skies. Allah's clemency knows no bounds. Allah will return those arrows stained with blood. You have accomplished what you wanted to. Allah's clemency, the current happenings also suggest from time immemorial, study Islamic history, when Muslim leaders will be assassinated. That will be the end of Islam. In the battle of Uhud, when my Nabi and your Nabi, this great battle, when the rumor was circulated that Muhammad has been killed, Muhammad has been assassinated, to echo a message of psychological defeat to the minds and the hearts of the Muslims. Certain Sahaba, they got sight of the Nabi of Allah, Abu Dujana, Talha, Zubair bin Awam, and as the arrows were being showered, they were taking the arrows on the backs and defending and protecting the Nabi of Allah. When the enemy realized they could not assassinate the Nabi of Allah, what did they say? نَتَرَبَّسُ بِهِ رَيْبَ الْمَنُونَ In the context, in today's context, let us assassinate this one and that one, and that will be the end of Islam. Allah gave two answers in Quran. أَفَإِمْ مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ If Muhammad dies, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are you going to live forever? Nay, nay, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ Everyone is going to meet the Almighty Allah. My brothers, study the riwayats. Scholars have written, there has never been a nation that has been more merciless to the prophets than the Yahuds. Who poisoned the food of the Nabi of Allah? Then a Yahudi woman. They invited him for a meeting. Jibril comes. Oh Muhammad, they're about to drop a boulder on your head. Move out of this gathering. There has never been a nation
that has been more merciless toward the prophets, you know, than the Yahuds. The narration of Ibn Abi Hatim on the strength of Abu Ubaidah Ibn Jarrah. What does he say in this narration? The Yahud assassinated 43 Anbiya on one day. 43 Anbiya on one day. And 170 pious servants that invited them towards the Almighty Allah. My brothers, we need to understand, this world is not a place of justice and retribution. Neither has Allah made the happenings of the world that would determine victory or failure. تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامِ نُدَّاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. This is the world. Some will be given victory, some will be given respite, some will be disgraced. Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the grandson of the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, moments before his assassination, he calls his little child Abdullah. He picks up this child, about to embrace this child, kiss the child, and cuddle the child. There's a stray arrow that comes, enters the neck of the child, separating the head from the body. My brothers, I see footage, it makes me cry. You see footage, it makes you cry. But we need to understand, before you become a victim of a psychological despondency, which in essence is the object of the media, inna yawmal fasli kana miqata. The day of Qiyamah will see that justice will prevail. Let them take the life of one. Let them take the life of two. Let them take the life of 10. But amongst them is one friend of Allah, Hajjaj bin Yusuf, that notorious bloodshedder. Open the kitabs. What do the scholars write? They say conservatively, Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he killed 120,000 people. When he died, somebody had seen him in a vision and a dream. And they told him, Ya Hajjaj, ma fa'ala Allahu bik. How did you fare before the Almighty Allah? What did he say? قَتَلَنِي بِكُلِّ قَتْلٍ قَتَلْتُهُ قَتْلًا. In lieu of every unjust killing that I perpetrated or I indicated, Allah made me taste the agony of death one time. But make no... it makes no difference to him whether he takes the life of one, he takes the life of 10. Hajjaj bin Yusuf, what did he say? وَقَتَلَنِي بِسَعِيدِ بْنِ جُبَيْرٍ سَبْعِينَ قَتْلًا. Allah Ta'ala told him, Sa'id ibn Jubair was my friend. Hajjaj, you will not die once for killing him, you will die 70 times. You wouldn't die one, you will die 70 times. It is the battle of Khandaq. Listen to this, my brothers. The battle of Khandaq, the Nabi of Allah, the third battle of Islam in the fifth year after the migration. Nabi alayhi salam is in the midst of the battle. There is one man stands up. He says, may you barizuni. Who is ready to take me on? Ali bin Abi Talib stands up. He said, O Nabi of Allah, I will take this man on. Nabi alayhi salam says, Ali, ijlis innahu amar. Ali, sit down. This is Amr, whose strength is equal to 40 men. A second time he says, may you barizuni, who is ready to take me on? To take out the sentiments of the love of Allah from the lives of Sahaba. It's like taking out the sweetness from honey, which is impossible. Who is ready to take me on? Ali bin Abi Talib said, O Nabi of Allah, I will take this man on. Amr stands up a third time. May you barizuni. Who is ready to take me on? But now he stirs the Muslims. What does he say? أَيْنَ الْجَنَّةُكُمُ الَّتِي تَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ دَخَلَ مِنْكُمْ دُونَهَا دَخَلَهَا. Where is that paradise you people speak about? That if you are martyred, you go to paradise. Ali bin Abi Talib said, O Nabi of Allah, this man is provoking me. Let me take him on. While thousands die in Palestine, while thousands fall and cry and die in Palestine, and we wonder where is the help of Allah coming. My brothers, drive down the road and see what is the condition of the youth of the Ummah. What does the Urdu poet say? Lo kehte hai mera Nabi, lekin parte hai namaz lo kabhi kabhi. لو کہتے ہیں میرا نبی لیکن پڑھتے ہیں نماز لو کبھی کبھی. People say my Nabi, but wallahi my brothers, if you cannot flip that blanket at the time of Fajr and respond to the call of the Almighty Allah, what love of the Nabi of Allah are you? What love of the Nabi of Allah are you? In the midst of the battle, Amr stands up. Who's ready to take me on? Nabi alayhi salam gives Ali bin Abi Talib permission. Lengthy narration. As he steps forward, Ali bin Abi Talib is mounted on his horse. He looks at Ali bin Abi Talib. What is your name? My name is Ali. Are you the son of Abd al-Manaf? No. He said, I'm the son of Abu Talib. He looks at Ali. He said, I will finish you off. Ali bin Abi Talib says, I am thirsty for your blood. Amr, whose strength was equal to 40 men. Ali says, I am thirsty for your blood. فَنَزَّلَ مِنْ خَيْرِ كَأَنَّهُ شُعْلَةُ نَارِ Ali bin Abi Talib dismounts from his horse like flames of fire, and then couplets in the midst of the battle. Ali bin Abi Talib is singing couplets. لا تعجلن فقد أتاك مجيب صوتك غير عاجز. Stop your arrogance. The one to respond to your bravery is here today. في نيتي وبصيرة. I stand up with such hope on the Almighty Allah. إني لأرجو أن أقيم عليك ناحية الجناحز من ضربة النجلاء يبقى ذكرها عند الحزائز. Ali bin Abi Talib tells this man, I will finish you off in such a way that this will serve as a remembrance for every battle that is fought till the day of Qiyamah. Ali bin Abi Talib looks at this man and he said, you go first. He takes out his sword and he strikes Ali bin Abi Talib on the head. Fatar al-ajab, the dust rises. The Nabi of Allah becomes emotional. The Nabi of Allah falls into sajda. And Nabi alayhi salam raises his head. And Ali bin Abi Talib, in one blow, he takes off the head of Amr. And then he addressed the galaxy of Sahaba. What did he say? لا تحسبن الله خاذل ديني. Not for one moment should you entertain the thought that Allah will desert his deen or abandon his prophet. Allah will protect the deen of Allah, whether we like it or not. You know, in the kitabs, there is an incident that is recorded that there was an elderly woman. There was an elderly woman living on a farm. And the only source of income that she had a cow. She used to milk the cow and feed the little kids, you know, from the milk of the cow. There was a tyrant ruler that was passing by through that locality. What he does, he snatches this cow, roasted the cow, and they ate the cow. Naturally, this woman was perturbed and disturbed. Someone told her that tomorrow that king will be passing by on that bridge. If you want, stand on that bridge and make known to him your concern. If he hears you, well and good. If not, that's the condition of a tyrant ruler. The next day, as this king is coming in his entourage, this elderly woman looks at that king and she says, I have one question to ask you. Do you want to settle me on this bridge or do you want to settle me on the bridge of Sirat? Do you want to settle me on this bridge or do you want to settle me on the bridge of Sirat? Study the oppression of Fir'aun. Who was Fir'aun? That man who claimed divinity. That man who claimed to be Allah. Bayezid Bustami has written that Fir'aun, not a day in his life, did he ever experience a headache. That was the perpetual affluence that Allah had given him. Someone comes to Fir'aun and he said, oh Fir'aun, a child is going to be born and you would lose your kingdom at the hands of that young man. From that day, that was a different Fir'aun. A man is living a flamboyant lifestyle. Doctors suspect cancer. That is the end of joy in the life of that man. That is the end of vacations. Why potentially I could suffer with that illness. This could be the tail end of my life. Fir'aun orders the massacre of children across the board. The Fir'auns of yesteryear killed the boys and left the girls. The Fir'auns of today are taking the boys and the girls. I read an article not too long ago. They say 90% of the youth of Palestine have seen the massacre of a near and dear one in front of their eyes. So Fir'aun orders the massacre of children across the board. Musa alayhi salam comes into this world. He comes into the lap of Fir'aun. The very man that you slaughtered thousands of children. فَالْتَقَتَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. That child for whom he killed thousands of children. Musa alayhi salam grows up, becomes the Nabi of Allah, and thousands of magicians accept the message of Musa alayhi salam. For a second time, Fir'aun orders the massacre of children across the board. If you open Ibn Majah, there's an amazing narration that is there on page 291, Ibn Majah. There was a slave girl in the time of Fir'aun. Her name was Hisqil. Hisqil. She had accepted Islam, the message of Musa alayhi salam. And like that, her husband also accepted the message of Musa alayhi salam. And she had little kids. So one day, she was the servant of Fir'aun's daughter. Hisqil, one day she was busy combing the hair of Fir'aun's daughter. And as the comb falls down, she said, Ta'isa Fir'aun. What a dictator Fir'aun is. What a oppressor Fir'aun is. She said, you call my father a dictator? This elderly, this woman was taken into the court of Fir'aun. Fir'aun looked at her. Mar Rabbuk, who is your Lord? She looks at Fir'aun. She said, my Lord is Allah and is your Lord. Ila hadal had, in front of me you deny my divinity. She says, I believe in one Allah. I believe in one Allah. He is your Lord. Faqal al-Hurras. What does Fir'aun do? He calls one of his guards and he said, do me a favor, light a fire and burn this woman alive. But before you burn her alive, take her children and burn her children before her eyes. These little children were taken into and thrown into this fire. This woman was burnt alive. When my Nabi ascends on the journey of Mi'raj, he comes to a certain place. He said, Ya Jibreel, ma hadihi rihu tayyiba. What is this brilliant fragrance I get coming from this grave? What did Jibreel say? O Muhammad, that is the grave of the slave of Fir'aun, who died whilst giving her life for Allah. Next to her are her children, and next to her is a husband. Decades lapse and passed when my Nabi's conveyance ascends to the heavens. He gets the brilliant fragrance coming from the grave of the slave of Fir'aun. Like I said, let them take the life of one. Let them take the life of two. When this is the global crisis, my brothers, when this is the crisis of the ummah, as-sa'idu man wu'ida bighayri, an intelligent one is the one who heeds the happenings around him. You know, when Sayyidina Abu Bakr passed on, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, he sang some couplets. And what did he say? He said, ذَهَبَ الَّذِينَ أُحِبُّهُمْ فَيَا دُنْيَا عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ. He said, those whom we cherished, those who are our spiritual mentors, they have left this world. He addresses the temptations of this world at the demise of Abu Bakr. What did Sayyidina Umar say? He said, my example is like that child that is being suckled by its mother. And tragically the mother passes away and the child has to be weaned off. He said, I was suckled by Abu Bakr. I was suckled by Abu Bakr. Jaz'uk fi musibati sadiq. He said, it is better for you to remain silent on your own tragedy than to moan and groan. And he says, it is better for you to moan and groan on the crisis of the ummah than to remain silent. My brothers, we all know what is the condition of the Muslim ummah. We all know what is the condition of the Muslim ummah. It is the promise of Allah. Allah gives respite. Allah gives clemency. Allah gives leeway. Imam Abu Hanifa, how did he pass on? There is history is repeating itself again and again. But as Muslims, what lessons are we taking? The fragmentation in the Muslim ummah. The disunity in the Muslim ummah. I mentioned this 100 times. That the definition, and listen to these words, my brothers, the definition of the unification of this ummah is not consensus on one view. Simply because if any person has the intention of unifying the ummah by bringing them onto consensus, I'm afraid by its very definition, it's a flawed definition. The Sahaba were the most united. You can sit in a meeting, you can be heated as far as your arguments are concerned, but walk out of that meeting with a smile on your face, with a clean heart, then we are progressing as an ummah. Either we stand up together, or either we drop down together. What is the Muslim population? Where is the Muslim world today? What is the Muslim population? Never in the history of Islam did Muslims possess that amount of wealth. You know, one scholar from America, he gave an amazing example. And so he says one day, something that we can reflect on. He said one day there was the scholar, this alim, he was preparing his Jumu'ah lecture and his son was next to him and interjecting. You know, kids are kids. You give them the toy cell phone, they want the real one. So anyway, this alim thinks to himself, you know what, I need to gather my thoughts. He opens up a magazine and he finds the map of the world. He tears the page off and he cuts it up into a puzzle. Africa, Asia, China, Europe. And he tells his son, put the puzzle together. 5 minutes down the line, the son comes back. He said, Dad, the puzzle is done. Like they say in English, apples don't fall too far from the tree. Dad says, in 5 minutes, you managed to put the puzzle together. He said, Dad, don't look at the map of the world. This was a simple puzzle to put together. Look behind the map. It was the picture of a man. I put the head in place. I put the arms in place. I put the feet in place. I put the ears in place. The father said, my boy, you have taught me the greatest lesson of life. When man comes together, despite his differences, the world will come in order. When man comes together, the world will come in order. We recite Surah Kahf. My time is almost up. You know, on a Friday, my brothers, we recite Surah Kahf. Like I mentioned in the beginning, unfortunately, we have not studied the language of Quran. What is the message of Quran? Allah makes mention of an incident. In the time of Musa alayhi salam, somebody asked Musa alayhi salam, who is the most learned man walking on earth? So he was the Nabi of Allah. He attributed it to himself. So Musa alayhi salam, Allah does not punish a Nabi, but Allah wanted to discipline his Nabi. Where did Allah Ta'ala send him? Allah sent him to Khidr alayhi salam. Just to digress, who is Khidr? When the Nabi of Allah left this world, Abu Bakr is sitting on the pulpit and consoling the Sahaba. One man was mounted on a horse, dressed in full white, entered Masjid al-Nabawi. He unveiled himself, consoled the Sahaba. He jumped back onto the horse and he left. Abu Bakr asked his companions, do you know who that person was? They said, we don't know. He said, that was Khidr alayhi salam. Allah sent him to comfort the ummah at the demise of the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the demise of the Nabi of Allah, Allah instilled that zeal into Abu Bakr. At the demise of Abu Bakr, Allah instilled that zeal into Umar, into Usman, into Ali. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, let them take the life of one, let them take the life of ten. But amongst those, one is the friend of Allah. And history is repeating itself. Nonetheless, in Suratul Kahf, Allah makes mention of an incident of Khidr alayhi salam. So we've heard this incident. They come to this locality and there was a wall that was about to collapse. And Khidr alayhi salam, anyway, they came to this locality. They asked him for some food and the people of that locality were not hospitable. And there was a wall that was about to collapse. So Khidr alayhi salam, he then straightens the wall. He straightens the wall. So Musa alayhi salam at the point of separation asked him, that you know what, the people of this locality haven't been hospitable, and on the reverse, you straighten the wall. So at that point of separation, Khidr alayhi salam discloses to Nabi Musa the wisdom as to why he straightened that wall. He said, beneath that wall, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ There is a treasure that belongs to two orphans. There is a tyrant ruler living in that locality. The father was pious and he left behind a treasure which is buried beneath this wall. What was that treasure? My brothers, whilst you and I are concerned, what would happen to my children the day I die? I think it is high time we need to ask ourselves the question, what would happen to my children the day they die? And this is the greatest concern. We're not living in a bubble. We're not living on an island. I just returned from the UK yesterday. And you know, wallahi, my heart cries. You know, we speak about people coming into the fold of Islam. But nobody speaks about people leaving the fold of Islam. Mufti Zainul Abidin Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say, he said, one person leaving the fold of Islam is worse than 10,000 people being martyred on the battlefield. If you cannot become an ambassador, for Allah's sake, my brothers, do not become obstacles. If you cannot become an ambassador for Islam, for Allah's sake, do not become an obstacle. Allah will not judge you on the day of Qiyamah. Whether you have a 786 number or whatever number you have, Whether you are when you're interacting with a broader community, whether it's Paul, Peter, whoever it is, show them the beauty of Islam. Like one person said, he reverted to Islam. Somebody asked him, what motivated you? What inspired you to become a Muslim? What did he say? I am grateful to the Almighty Allah. I was first introduced to Islam before being introduced to Muslims. I am grateful to the Almighty Allah. I was first introduced to Islam before being introduced to Muslims. If my first introduction was via Muslims, I doubt I would have accepted the faith. Really, that's an indictment. If you cannot become an ambassador for Allah's sake, do not become an obstacle. I leave you with these words. So nonetheless, it was a plate of pure gold that the father leaves behind for his two children. And on this plate of pure gold, the following advices were engraved. I wish you and I can leave those advices for our children. What did he say? أَجِبْتُ لِمَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِالْقَدْرِ كَيْفَ يَحْزُنُ أَجِبْتُ لِمَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِالرِّزْقِ كَيْفَ تَتْعَبُ أَجِبْتُ لِمَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِالْمَوْتِ كَيْفَ يَفْرَحُ أَجِبْتُ لِمَنْ يَعْرِفُ الدُّنْيَا وَتَقَلُّبِهَا. He said, I find it strange and astonishing that a man believes that Allah is the sole sustainer, yet he still grieves over the loss of this world. He said, I find it totally strange that a man believes he is going to meet the Almighty Allah. He still lives his life totally heedless and oblivious. كُلُّ بَيْتٍ وَإِنْ طَالَتْ سَلَامَتُهَا يَوْمًا سَتُدْرِكُهُ النَّكْبَأُ وَالْحُوَبُ. Every palatial home, no matter how palatial the home may be, a time is going to come where spiders will spin the webs within that home. My brothers, each and every one of us are going to meet the Almighty Allah. When this is the global crisis of the Ummah, as Muslims, what lessons are we taking? What lessons are we taking? And then you're saying, Imam Sahib, read Kunut and Nazila in Fajr. 90% of the Ummah are sleeping at home. Mullah Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib Muhajir al-Madani used to say, he said, don't curse the Ummah. Don't curse the Ummah. He said, Allahumma ansur man nasara deena. Oh Allah, help the deen. Help your deen, those that help your deen. Help them, oh Allah. And disgrace those that disgrace the deen. What did my Nabi say? And I leave you with these words. Nabi alayhi salam said there are five angels. One angel descends in Mecca, one in Medina, one in Baytul Muqaddas, one at the Qabristans of the Muslims, and one at the bazaars of the Muslims. That angel that descends in Mecca, what is the cry of this angel? That person who abandons those things that Allah has made compulsory and mandatory, such a person will have no share in the mercy of Allah. Number two, the angel that descends in Medina. What is the cry of this angel? That person who abandons the sunnats of the Nabi of Allah will have no intercession of Muhammad on the day of Qiyamah. One goal dictates who wins the World Cup. One cent dictates who is wealthier. One mark dictates who comes out first in the exam. But one sunnat of my Nabi means absolutely nothing to you and I. I swear by Allah that one sunnat of my Nabi and your Nabi is more beloved to the Almighty Allah than this entire world and whatever it contains. The third angel descends at Baytul Muqaddas. What is the cry of this angel? That person whose earnings are contaminated, halal and forbidden, tell him that his good deeds would never be accepted. What did my Nabi say? A person wears a garment for 10 dirhams. 9 is halal and 1 is haram. Today 9 is haram and 1 is halal. What did my Nabi say? 9 is halal and 1 is haram. Allah will never accept the salah of that person as long as you're reading salah in that garment. Owing the entire town money. The other day one brother said, he said, Molana, this man is owing me money for the past 5 years. And he phones to say, make dua, I'm going for Umrah. There your salah will go, your zakat will go. Allah Ta'ala protect, Allah Ta'ala grant the Ummah victory. Wherever Muslims are suffering, those have that have been martyred on the battlefield, may Allah Ta'ala grant them the highest rank of martyrdom. May Allah Ta'ala unite our hearts. And wherever Muslims are suffering, especially my brothers in Palestine, in the land of Sham, and wherever it may be, Muslims are suffering, Allah Ta'ala ease in the plight, you know, of the Muslim Ummah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability that we imbibe and we infuse these advisors of Quran and Sunnah. Amen.